Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20 is where we'll begin reading. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20. It says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." Now, that's talking about Jesus, and he began to upbraid them, to rebuke them, because of what they had done, because the place where he did most of his miracles, because they repented not. And he said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." At that time Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Our Father, thank you for the Word of God that we've just read, and I pray you'd help me to preach it faithfully and Lord, accurately, and help me to be a blessing. These people came, I hope, to hear from you, and so I pray that you would speak to them through the Word of God, and maybe something I've said today and make a difference in their lives. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help me to be attentive to the Word of God that make a difference in my life. We just thank you for this great promise that Jesus has given us. And Lord, help us all enter into that rest. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Jesus is speaking to the places where his miracles had been done. And, you know, they just kind of, some of them, they kind of oohed and aahed and then went on their way. And some of them, they got mad at him and tried to kill him. I believe it's Capernaum where they tried to kill him. I might be wrong on that, but I believe that's where he was at when they tried to throw him off the mount, off the hill and kill him. And so he compares these places, these cities which are in the nation of Israel, and he compares them to places that in the Bible that are synonymous with sin and wickedness and rebellion against God. So he's comparing cities that are in the land of Israel where God's chosen were supposed to dwell to cities that are absolutely synonymous with wickedness. And he says it's going to be more because you saw my mighty works and you didn't do them and you didn't repent. It's going to be more tolerable for you than them in the day of judgment, because if they had saw those works, they would have repented. If Sodom had seen those works that Jesus did, there would still be a Sodom today. And the reason they didn't repent was because of their pride. They said, "Well, we don't need to repent. We're God's chosen." That's what trips up most people, is our pride. We have a look at everybody. You know, you tell people that all are sinners and they need to be saved and Jesus died for their sins, and that man's natural reaction is, "Well, I'm not that bad. I'm not like them. I'm better than he is. I'm better than she is. I'm better than that preacher. Well, there's your trouble. You know that's not a very high bar. And that pride keeps people away from having a real living relationship with God. And Jesus said this, he said in verse 25, he said, at that time, Jesus answered, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. When he's talking about the wise and prudent, he's not talking about people that are truly wise. He's talking about people that think they're wise, people that are wise in their own eyes. The Bible says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. But we can look at these people and you know the reality of it. You know, we look at the things that Jesus says here about Bethsaida, and we can relate to that. And I mean, there's people in this room, including me, who you may look at, may have in your life at some time, look at people who said they were Christian and they do things that Christians shouldn't do, and you know what Christians shouldn't do, and you can sure call them out on it. When I was lost, I could call people out on what Christians were supposed to be. And some of it was justified. There were people that failed as Christians in one way or another, and it was justified in me saying what I did. I wasn't lying about it. Because we have that in churches today. But the problem is churches are made up of people, aren't they? And wherever you have people, you're going to have trouble. I hate to break it to you, but this isn't heaven if you haven't paid attention. We live in a world where God is merciful, yet he is allowing man to do what man wants to do. And yes, there's coming a day of judgment. We talked about that in Sunday school. There's going to be a day of judgment, and all of us are going to give account of ourselves unto God. But right now, God's just simply being merciful. And God says, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, because you've hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed in my good in my sight. And then he says this. He said, All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You know, so many people believe that they can know God the Father without Jesus Christ, but Jesus right there says it's impossible. He said, the only way you can truly know the Father is to know the Son. That's it. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's no other way except through Jesus Christ. He made that very clear. And it's your choice to accept it or reject it, but Jesus made that very clear. And then, but he says something in this passage of Scripture that to me is the most amazing thing. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's an amazing thing when we look at what Jesus says. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All of you. You know, that includes everybody. Every one of us has had a time where we have been at our absolute wit's end because of trials and tribulations. We have times, sometimes it's because of our own sins, the things that we have done, and we reap the consequences. Sometimes it's because of what somebody else does. We were talking about judges being unjust in this time, and you have people in our culture today. Look at our politics and everything. Look at the things that they do. They enrich themselves. You have judges that go up and they let people just go out after committing a crime, and they go back out and they do the same thing again and again. And we look at the injustice of that, and we suffer at the hands of other people. Other people suffer at our hands. And these things get to be a burden. They make us heavy laden. But Jesus says, I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. You know, I have found that to be true. I have found that to be true. You know, we talk about being forgiven our sins. And we talk about the work that Jesus did at Calvary Cross when He died in our place and shed His blood for our sins and then rose from the dead, proving that He paid that penalty in full. And then He offers salvation, forgiveness of sins. He offers that freely. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. He offers it freely. But sometimes, sadly, it's only an academic thing that people do. They know what the Bible says, but they never have the rest that Jesus promised. I know people who say they believe what the Bible says, but if you look at their life, they say that you would think they don't believe anything. You look at their life and you look at the way they live, or the way they think, or the way they act, and they don't. It's clear they don't have any rest. And I want you to understand something about this rest that Jesus promises. We talk about the rest in heaven. We talk about going to heaven one day. And we talk about having a life where there's no more sin and no more sorrow and no more sickness and no more death and no more pain. Amen. And I look forward to that day. And that rest certainly includes, this rest that Jesus speaks of certainly includes that. But I'm here to tell you it's more than that. I'm here to tell you that it's a whole lot more than that. You see, because I have, and I'm just giving you my own experience, but there are millions of other people that could give you the same testimony. That you know, when I got saved, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was relieved to know that the Bible said that my sins were forgiven and that I was going to go to heaven. And that I didn't have to be afraid of that day of my death or of the Lord's return in that regard. I didn't have to be afraid anymore. And the Bible says Jesus came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But I want to tell you, the rest that He talks about, it's not just heaven one day. It's here and now.
That's right.
You see, I read my Bible, and as I began to read my Bible, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I found out that I could have rest from my past. Not just in the future, but right now, Brother Johnny. That I can look back at the things that I had done in my life, and I can give you a laundry list, and it's not pretty. But I could look back at that day, and I have the freedom and liberty to say now, I am no more that person.
That's right. Amen.
You know, when God began to deal with my heart about my sins and the things that I had done to people, and part of this led me to the wife that I have now and the mother of my children, because of things that happened between us when I was lost and we were both lost and things like that. And God wonderfully redeemed that relationship that we had and made it wonderful and fantastic. But we go through these things, and I look back at all the things I've done. I look back at the things that I've suffered, because I didn't just do bad things to other people. Other people did bad things to me too. I could tell you stories about things that happened to me when I was a child. But you know what? None of those things hold any power over me anymore. Amen. I'm not that person anymore. By God's grace, as I learned to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, my life changed. The way I look at people changed. The way I think about things changes. I'm not just afraid of death, the day of my death. I'm not afraid to live. I'm not afraid to take a chance on people. I'm not afraid to try to be a blessing to people. I know that everything I do, we as a church, from time to time, we try to help people out. And so often people come and they ask for help, and we give them help, and you never see them again. Yeah. And we've had some that the only time you ever see them is when they need something. Yeah. That's frustrating, isn't it? But you know what? I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to sit there and fret about it or get upset about it or angry about it. I don't have to worry about it, because everything I do, that I'm going to receive a reward for. Amen. Everything we do as a church that's right and good in the sight of God, the Bible says, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So you reach out to help somebody and they don't repay you in kind, and they're not appreciative or grateful for it, or they don't say thank you, or maybe they stab you in the back. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. You know, Jesus said, if somebody smites you on the right cheek, turn the other one to him, right? If somebody takes your coat, give him your cloak also. You can't lose. If somebody compels you to go a mile, go too. How are you? You won't lose. God tells you, you're not going to lose. You don't have to be afraid that you're going to lose something. And you know, a lot of times we worry about what we have on this earth so much that we hold it close and everything like that. We don't learn to give. We don't learn the joy of giving to other people. And I'm not just talking about the offering plate. I'm talking about helping people. I'm talking about living and being a blessing to folks. And I'm saying you can have the freedom to do that, and you can be so. But I got news for you. Everything you own on this earth, somebody else is going to get it. You won't keep it. You can't take it with you, can you? So why not just lay something up good? I'm just simply saying we have that ability. And we have rest. We don't have to worry about things. We don't have to worry about what other people say or other people think. All we have to worry about is just our Savior. You know, have you ever noticed when you're worried about what everybody else thinks, that's a heavy burden to carry? You don't have to worry about everybody else. Trust in the Lord and do good. Verily thou shalt be fed. Boy, we fret, we fuss, people do us wrong, and we get mad and angry about it. You don't have to do that. You know, so often we get caught up with what everybody else does and what everybody else doesn't do. We forget to do what we should do. I can't make anybody love me, but I can love other people. I can't make anybody forgive me, but I can forgive. That's right. I can't make anybody bless me, but I can be a blessing. And I'll never lose. Never lose. And I could talk in this tone a long time. I could. He said, come unto me, ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Some of us, the biggest thing we do is just worry our lives away. Just worry our lives away. And you don't have to as a Christian. If you'll believe God and you'll live the way God wants you to live, and you'll realize that everything you have, He gave you, and you're open your hand. The Bible talks about blessings of that. I've seen it time and time again. But not just talking about material things. I'm talking about things that even go far deeper than that. We worry ourselves to death. Some people fret your life away worrying about what might happen or what somebody else did or somebody else said or everything like that. And there's not a cotton-picking thing you can do about it. The only thing you can possibly do is do what God wants you to do and just put it in His hands. One of the greatest blessings I ever had as a young Christian was being over in the Mediterranean Sea off of Libya, where they were flying ships planes at us and making attack runs on there, and we were in a Cold War status. We couldn't shoot unless we were shot at. And Muammar Gaddafi and all the things that he was doing there, and we're doing our med crews, and we're there in the Gulf of Tunisia, in that area over there where he made his call about the line of death. If anybody goes across this line, we're gonna sink them. We're going to attack them. And we're sitting there and we're going and doing what we're supposed to do. And we're sitting there pretty much helpless until he attacks us. And I watched people just crack up under that type of pressure. But I was reading in my Bible, said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Amen. And you know what? I hadn't missed any sleep yet, unless there was a reason for it. But I don't miss sleep over worrying. The Bible says in Psalm 127, it's vain for you to rise up early, to stay up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. I'm telling you, you may not believe me. And if you don't believe God at what He says, I can't help you. But I'll tell you this, if you believe God and you'll just put those things in your hands, in His hands, and you'll trust Him, you'll get better sleep at night. He'll give you rest. I dare you to try it. I dare you, when you're sitting up there and worrying about things at night, I dare you to just start praying and putting in God's hands. And when I say praying, I'm talking about putting in God's hands. I'm not just saying complain about it to God. I'm saying put it in His hands. A lot of times our prayers, we just want to fuss to somebody. And God's good. He'll listen. But you'd be so much better if you just put it in His hands, because He can give you rest. I could spend a lot of time on that verse right there of the rest that God gives us. Don't have to fear death. Don't have to fear whether or not God's going to be just and whether God's going to reward our efforts. It's done. You don't have to stay up all night and be afraid. You don't have to worry and live your life fretting yourself all the time. You don't have to worry about that. I've had times when I've learned and lived long enough, Sister Denise can tell you, I've lived times where God's provided for us in ways that we never expected. I had a time, I'll just tell you one little story. We had a time where the pastor that actually began this church, Brother Curtis Gibson, that began Grace Baptist Church before we changed the name of Grace and Truth, that one time we'd been talking to him and everything. He had been back from France, where he was a missionary in France, came back and pastored the church for a while. And one time we had our oven go out, and it was Thanksgiving. And we didn't know what we were going to do about Thanksgiving. We didn't tell anybody. I mean, there's a few people in our family that knew about it and everything like that, but we were just trying to deal with the situation. And here comes Thanksgiving Day. Brother Curtis Gibson and Sister Debbie come up, and what do? We hadn't told anybody anything. We hadn't broadcast it out. But what they do, here they come with the turkey and all the fixings for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yep.
Now, to you, that may not seem like much, but God knew what was going on, didn't he? And I could tell you story after story after story after story after story after story about how God's done stuff like that. But then you'd get mad at me and you'd say, well, we want to go eat, preacher. So I'm not going to tell you all those stories. But I'm just saying, God, he takes care of his own. He provides if you trust him. Most of the time we rob ourselves of the rest and the provision of God because we don't trust him. Just like we rob ourselves of the salvation of God because we've refused to trust that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins and he's the only Savior. We refuse to repent, swallow our pride, and trust Christ as our Savior. And that's a shame. But then he said this, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Not just if we take his yoke upon us. See, I'm not asking you to come and be a member of Grace and Truth Baptist Church today. I'd be honored if you did. I'm not asking you to do things but you could come and you could want to join up with the church and you could find no rest at all. But if you come to Jesus, it'll be different.
Amen.
If you humble yourself before the Lord and say, look, I know everybody in this world, there's problems with them, including me, but all I'm doing is I want to serve you, and I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead, and I'm asking you to save my soul today, and I want to serve you. I want to be your servant, your child. If you'll honestly do that, you'll find something. You'll find out that it's not very hard to serve God. It really isn't. The devil wants you to think it's difficult to serve God. You know, the Bible says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. His commandments aren't grievous. It's not a hard thing. It's not. Now, the Bible does say the way of transgressors is hard. But it's not a hard thing. You see, I go through my life today, Sister Doris, the life I'm living now today, I'm not trying to get myself to heaven. I don't try to keep God's commandments so I can go to heaven. I just try to keep God's commandment to say, Father, I love you. And that's an easy yoke to bear, isn't it? That's an easy yoke. Oh, if you're trying to keep the commandments to get to heaven, and every day you're faced with the fear and the knowledge that you have failed. Because the Bible says all of sin and come short of the glory of God.
Absolutely.
The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. And when we fail, and we all have, if you're trying to earn your way to heaven, down in the back of your mind, you know you've already failed. And when we send somebody to the court, we talked about the unjust judge, but if a just judge comes up there and we send you to the courtroom and everything like that, if I came in your house and pulled a gun and robbed you and took what was yours and the police caught me and they dropped me up there and the judge said to me, well, you know, Mr. Sanders, I think you're a pretty good fella. As far as I see, you've tried to live pretty good most of your life, and you've helped folks out, and you've been a preacher and all that type of stuff. And if he let me go, you would scream about the injustice, and rightly so. But yet we want to delude ourselves that somehow we can keep enough of God, even though we've already failed and we're already guilty, we can keep enough of God's law to make it into heaven. But you can't. And that is precisely why Jesus died. That's why he shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And he said, I am meek and lowly in heart. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So many people don't learn about Jesus. They know the basics. He was born of a virgin. He was born in a manger. He grew up. He died on the cross. He shed His blood for our sins. He rose from the dead. He ascended up to heaven. He's coming again someday. And all of that's amen and hallelujah.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something right now. So many people don't learn of Jesus the way. The Bible tells us that we are to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And if you will learn and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, I can guarantee you it will change your life. And you will see that the Christian life, the biblical Bible believer's life, is the best life on the face of this planet. He said, I'm meek and lowly of heart. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is just an amazing thing about Him being meek and lowly in heart. Meek is not weak. But in Philippians chapter 2, He said this. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know what that Bible says? That says that Jesus humbled Himself. He made Him meek and lowly in heart. Now when it says He became obedient, it doesn't mean that He was ever disobedient, but He was equal with God the Father. And He humbled Himself and became a man and took upon the form of a servant and lived as a servant to His Father on this earth and died on Calvary's cross. When Peter and the others, when they came to take Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, after He had prayed to get to Calvary's cross, He didn't pray to get away from it. He prayed to get to it.
Amen.
If you read your Bible carefully, you'll find that out.
Yes, amen.
And as He prayed in that Garden of Gethsemane, His sweat was as it were great drops of blood. An angel came and appeared to Him, strengthening Him. And then He came out to meet them. And Judas came and kissed Him, and then one of the disciples, I think it was Brother Peter, grabbed a sword and chopped off one of the high priest's servant's ears, a fellow by the name of Malchus, and Jesus reached out and healed that person's ear. And He said, put up thy sword. Think not that I cannot call unto my Father, and He will not presently send 12 legions of angels, but how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled? He didn't have to go to the Calvary's cross. He went willingly. And He did all that, and He humbled Himself and became obedient to the death of the cross. Born in a manger, born poor, the poorest of the poor. A man who labored, knew what it was to work a hard day. This was the God of the Bible who became a man. That's an amazing thing. This is Jesus. This is the one that offers you rest. This is the one who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. This is the one who understands the feelings of our infirmities. Because He felt them too. He walked in them. And when He comes in righteousness to judge the earth, there's still going to be nobody that can say, you're not fair, you don't understand.
Amen.
But he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I can testify right now. You know, people say to me all the time, all those do's and don'ts in the Bible and everything like that, and you this and that. No, it's not a burden at all. It's easy. It really is. I lived 23 years of my life lost. And my life before that was so much harder than it is today. And I'm not just talking about my conscience. I'm talking about all aspects of my life. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And you say, preacher, I don't know that by experience. Or maybe you're saying, how can I know that by experience? And you know, the answer is in that first scripture, in verse 28, the first three words of that, he says, come unto me. So many people read the Bible, but they don't come to Jesus. They don't come. You know, that's even in our culture today. We say, well, we're going to have a come to Jesus meet. And you don't even know what you're talking about. And really, I'll just be honest with you. That's kind of blasphemous. Yeah. Jesus says, come unto me. And he's saying, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you rest in your soul, in your life. I'm going to change who you are. This is what I'm going to do. And we this idea, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. I'm going to show somebody how the cow ate the cabbage. That's what we're saying, isn't it? But Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know, you're going to serve somebody. And you get to choose who. Jesus, the devil doesn't make such a promise. And if he does, he can't fulfill it. The world doesn't make such a promise, and if they do, they can't fulfill it. Even your own flesh, the thing that we war against, that what we call the darker side of our nature, they don't make things easy on you at all. God's the only one that comes and asks, you know, that the world and the devil and even our own flesh, they try to deceive us, they try to bully us, they try to push us and force us. But God's the only one that says, my son, give me thine heart. I want you to give me your heart. Jesus says, come unto me. And he said in another place, he said, all that the Father hath given unto me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I remember a day when I was in the Navy and I was kneeling beside my rack. Navy parlance, that's what we call a bed. But I was kneeling by my rack and I was praying and I was praying and I was praying and I was asking God to forgive me of my sins and I was asking Him to save me. And I was sitting there waiting for some great feeling to come upon me and some great thing to happen. And there was a fellow there, his name was Chris Coogan, and he'd been sharing the gospel with me, and I asked him, I said, how do you know if you're saved? And he said, read this. And he gave me a little booklet about that big, little blue booklet. It was called Assurance of Salvation. It was written by an old-time evangelist and radio preacher. His name was Oliver B. Green. And I read that, and I got to there, and I was reading it, and I was very serious. I wanted to know I was saved, and I got to Titus 1:2. He quoted Titus 1:2, and said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Amen. And you know what I realized at that moment? That I was trying to get Jesus to come to me. I was trying to get Him to come to me. And when I read that verse, I realized that I was trying to make God prove to me that His Word was true. I wasn't just trusting His Word. But that part of that God that cannot lie, promised before the world began, is like a light switch turned on. And I said, I'm doing this all wrong. I simply need to trust Him. And I called on Him. And this time, I came to Him. I wasn't waiting on Him to come to me. I came to Him. And I said, I need You. Please save me. And He did. And I got up. I found immediate rest. I got up and I just realized that I could trust God's promise. And I didn't have to wait for anything. I didn't have to have some great spiritual happening. I just simply needed to believe Him and trust Him. And you know what? I've been doing that ever since. Not perfectly. There are times I have to learn to trust Him all over again. There are times I have to say, boy, you know better than this. You're kind of dumb. You just trust the Lord. But I want you to say something. I want you to understand something today. The key to this verse, the key to being able to take His yoke upon you and have that light and easy burden and be able to get through this hard world and still have joy and peace and rejoicing and look forward to a day when everything you did here, whether it didn't matter to anybody else, knowing that it matters to God, it'll be rewarded, and having that peace where you can lay your head down at night and sleep and having that type of life where you're not weighed down with fear and worry. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. The key to that is you must come unto Him. Where are you at today? Where are you at today? You might be here and say, preacher, I don't even know sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You might say, preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm in a bind. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life and everything. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. You know, when I first got saved, I didn't really know anything about Jesus. But the more I learn, the greater my rest. The more I can see God's plan. The more I can see God's hand in the world. Some of us, we need to come back to Jesus. Some of us, you came to Him in the beginning, but then you started going your own way. And that was a problem. But the invitation is the same. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to ask you right now, if you would, to please bow your heads in prayer. And I want to do this. If God spoke to your heart today, would you do something about that? Would you just talk to the Lord? Would you just...